Our first speaker is Jennifer Pomerantz. She is the Director of Legal Initiatives at the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale University. At the Rudd Center, Ms. Pomerantz develops meaningful legal solutions to public health issues related to obesity and food policy. She has published on the subjects of food marketing to children, the First Amendment, menu labeling, and innovative legal solutions to obesity. Ms. Pomerantz earned her Juris Doctorate from Cornell Law School, and after practicing law for 5 years, returned to school to get a Master's of Public Health from the Harvard School of Public Health. Please join me in welcoming Jennifer.
Hi, thank you. Just a note why I might be talking about pharmaceutical data mining is because we wrote an amicus brief, which is a friend of the court brief, to the Supreme Court on the First Amendment issues that were relevant, which I will talk about. But I know my background and the topic don't seem to correspond directly. So I will be discussing what became the Supreme Court case of Sorrell versus IMS Health. And it has to do with pharmaceutical data mining. I have no relationships to disclose. So the topic of this case was prescription confidentiality laws. And what they do is prohibit pharmacies from selling records with prescriber identifiable information. So that's the doctor's information for marketing purposes. And These records are collected as a matter of course when you submit your prescriptions, but they're also collected according to federal law. So the pharmacies must collect these records that have PII data in them. The pharmaceutical data miners and the manufacturers' trade organizations challenge these laws, which I will tell you more about in a minute, because they use the information to target doctors. So what they do is they take the doctor's own prescribing information, give it to their detailers, and send the detailers to the doctor's office and basically are saying, you don't prescribe my drug enough, blah, blah, blah. And some states had a problem with this practice. In fact, a lot of states had a problem with this practice, but at the time of the Supreme Court case, 3 states enacted laws. So in the First Circuit, New Hampshire enacted a law banning the practice of using PII data for marketing purposes. Maine enacted a law that had a physician opt-out provision, so the physician could say that they don't want their data to be used by marketers. And the First Circuit upheld both of these laws and said that they were constitutional, that was fine. But then in the Second Circuit, Vermont passed a law that was very similar, except that it allowed doctors to opt in. So by default, they were not having their data mined. And it went to the Second Circuit, and the Second Circuit struck it down. So that creates what's called a circuit split. And when two circuits have differing opinions, the Supreme Court tends to take the case because they have to explain the law for the rest of the country. Vermont submitted 3 interests for passing this law. The first is public health. They felt that the doctors couldn't offer proper care if they were getting this kind of detailing information. The second was prescriber privacy, and the third was the cost of healthcare, because it would drive up prescribers' interest in prescribing brand name drugs, which are much more expensive than generics drugs. This was probably the state's primary interest, because it would decrease the amount of generic drugs that were being prescribed. What's very important to note is that Vermont did not offer the interest of patient privacy, which New Hampshire and Maine did when they were drafting their laws, but Vermont didn't use this interest. So the Supreme Court took the case. It's called Sorrell versus IMS Health, and they struck down the Vermont law. The majority opinion, it was a 6-3 opinion, said that privacy issues are important, but that the law violated the First Amendment. The First Amendment says that the government shall not create a law that abridges the freedom of speech, and it was originally enacted to protect, for most part, participation in the political process, so your idea could be expressed in the marketplace of ideas for purposes of governance and self-determination. In the 1970s, the Supreme Court determined that commercial speech, most likely advertising and marketing, are also protected by the First Amendment. So in this case, the Supreme Court didn't exactly tell us which type of speech they were determining this was. They pretty much said it was a commercial speech, but they pretty much just held that the data is speech, so it's protected by the First Amendment, and that they were cutting off the right of marketers to use this information for marketing purposes, which the Supreme Court decided violated the First Amendment. There's an issue with the Vermont law itself that makes it unclear if they had drafted it differently, would it have had a different outcome? It's not really sure. But what happened was the Vermont legislator said the marketplace for ideas about brand name drugs is one-sided. And this is very bad language from a First Amendment perspective because the state was trying to change the one-sidedness of the marketplace of ideas. Whoever wrote this language was clearly not a lawyer, doesn't know anything about the First Amendment, and it kind of slipped up, and it was the main clause that was always talked about in the courts. The Supreme Court said the state has burdened a form of protected expression it found to be too persuasive, and that does violate the First Amendment. So the court found that the state was burdening a disfavored speech by a disfavored speaker, and what they meant by this is this. Pharmacies and collected the data. As I told you, the American Medical Association collects data on the doctors themselves. A intermediary prescription drug company collects the data, which is the center spot, and it's used by many different users. The first is the pharmaceutical manufacturers. This is who challenged the law. And then the rest are the pharmacy benefit managers, health insurance researchers, federal agencies, and state governments. But the Vermont law only cut off the ability of this top group from marketing. So the Supreme Court said you can't just pick out a group that you don't want it to use the speech and decide that they're not allowed to use the speech for marketing. The problem is there's a few issues that really are outstanding. The first is that the dissent and the First Circuit thought that this was not a regulation of speech. It's really just a regulation of data. The alternative view is that they were regulating data just like any other commodity and saying you can't use this data or commodity for speech. You can still market. We're not telling you can't market. We're just saying you can't use the data for the marketing. And that's another view that the reason why it's a concern is because there are other regulations all over our country that regulate, that are considered economic regulations. So it's now throwing into question where does data and speech, where are the lines? And it's very unclear now after this case. It's also unclear how much this is due to a poorly drafted law, but the problem is the Supreme Court did overturn Maine's law, so we kind of know that argument's not a great one, but if the Supreme Court later determined that they wanted to backtrack from this decision, they could blame it on the Vermont law if they wanted. This Supreme Court wouldn't, but I'm talking pretty down in the future. But the problem also was that it collapses First Amendment cases. It says that it's giving heightened review, which is not normal in a commercial speech case. It really was not a clear First Amendment case, and that's causing problems for lawyers all over the country trying to interpret what this will mean for the future. The other question is whether re-identification of the patients is possible through this prescription identifier information. In order to be safe under HIPAA, you have to be able to de-identify the records, so you wouldn't be able to figure out who the patient is. And it's unclear whether you actually could identify the patient through re-identification. So the Supreme Court gave solutions to the states who were uncomfortable about the prescriber identifier data. They told physicians to close the door. Now clearly this is not actually going to further any of the states' interests, and it also could throw public health into jeopardy because then doctors who decide to close the door and don't let detailers in will have no information about new drugs or anything. So that's actually putting the balance of information kind of on the wrong side. Instead of deciding that they don't want to have targeted information, they can't get any information. And it also doesn't really help with the generic healthcare costs, the generic drug healthcare costs. The second solution was actually discussed in the New England Journal of Medicine. The American Medical Association collects these prescribers' information. And when I showed you the two boxes on the left, the bottom left box was the American Medical Association. They collect this, and they actually make money from distributing it. So they have a program that you can sign up to withhold your prescriber data for marketing purposes, but apparently only 3 to 4% of all physicians actually sign up for the program, and the reasons seem to be that they don't know about it and it's very difficult to opt out. So hopefully more and more physicians will learn about it because it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine and now people are talking about it, and maybe that would be a solution. But the AMA apparently has a financial interest in not having you opt out, so they haven't promoted this program. The other method to maintain privacy is through HIPAA. The Supreme Court basically said that HIPAA is safe and that we're not worried about them overturning HIPAA. And states, HIPAA has a provision that preempts states from doing certain things, which means it blocks states from doing things that are against HIPAA's provisions, but states can protect your information further. So they can give you increased protection. In fact, Texas just passed the Texas Health Privacy legislation that defines covered entities broader than HIPAA does. So this is happening around the country just to give more protection for private information. So states can actually use HIPAA and add prescriber identifier information into the provision of protected health information. And this is one method to fix what Vermont was trying to fix, but not go against the First Amendment. Another method that's been floated is to try to prove that you can re-identify patients. HIPAA requires that they're de-identified through, and a statistician has to prove it. If there's somebody wants to do a study that proves that re-identification is possible through a statistician or otherwise, then states who pass future laws similar to Vermont's can use that to show patient privacy really is in jeopardy, and it would be encourage the Supreme Court to support such a law if it was patient privacy against HIPAA provisions. And finally, there's a few other ways that states can protect privacy of these types of records. First, they can require disclosures by detailers. The First Amendment allows you to require factual information disclosures. If you've ever looked at a food product you bought in the supermarket, it has a nutrition facts panel. It's the same idea. You can require factual information in the marketplace when you're trying to sell something. So a state could actually require detailers to have to disclose that they're using their prescriber identifying information. They can also, pharmacies could compete on this basis and say, we don't use this, we don't sell this information, and the pharmacies could start not selling it and actually advertise this fact. Alternatively, a state could actually mandate that a pharmacy disclose that they're selling the prescriber identifier information, and it gives you the option to not go to that pharmacy. Also, the state can always increase its speech about prescribing generic drugs. Of course, this is an expensive alternative, but that is a possibility. States and health insurers can require that generics are default as part of the healthcare plan. When you use contracting provisions, the First Amendment doesn't apply. The First Amendment only applies when the government is acting. So if private parties are contracting to limit their speech, it's fine. There's no First Amendment issue. And the pharmacy benefit managers have contracts with the insurance companies, and employers have contracts with the insurance companies, and they can say, as part of our health plan, by default, you must prescribe generics. So these are some alternative options, and if you're interested, I also encourage you to look at the New England Journal of Medicine. There are three articles about this topic that can further explain some of the privacy issues. Thank you, and I will be happy to answer any questions. Okay.